Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The mayor pinged me, reached out to me, texted me, and then we started having our dates. We have the worst investigative reporting infrastructure anywhere. We would go pretty much every week, every other week, the main couch in the lobby at the Waldorf. And I would jump up and run to the bar and get some drinks and would sit, but we would talk about what's the vision for the city. Because what I was most interested in is how we're going to reinvent, reimagine, be in this together.
Bad investigative infrastructure. Some of the worst. God, he's so smart. Just ask him. Good morning, everybody. The result is what matters more than anything else. But I don't think we're going to forget these last 3 to 4 months. And what a big loss it was for Ted and his image. And by the way, for the city as well, to a certain degree. But the result is what matters. I'm thrilled they are staying in D.C. The city and Ted have a deal in place for them to stay in D.C. through 2050, with the city providing $515 million towards the renovation of Capital One Arena and a lot of other things that will go with this new deal. It did yesterday take a whole lot of swallowing hard to deal with another one of these Ted press conferences. It even looked as if the mayor and Phil Mendelson were struggling with it as well. So I'll take the high road here and point to a tweet that Ted's son, Zach Leonsis, put out yesterday, which I thought was much more self-aware in the moment than perhaps his father's position, in which, you know, he talked about being pinged and texted and called and just wooed so much that they just couldn't turn it down, as if he wasn't, you know, out the door headed to Virginia if it wasn't for Louise Lucas. But Zach tweeted out yesterday, Louise Lucas, the Senate chairwoman of the Finance Committee in Virginia. By the way, she handled this with such grace. More on that in a moment. Zach Leonsis, Ted's son, who will eventually be the owner of all of this, you know, all of these properties, these Gold Star properties that they have. But in the moment, he tweeted out, "The moment you're waiting for. We're staying at Capital One Arena, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever before." I'd like to think that that was tongue-in-cheek, that there was a bit of sense of humor in that. And I'm going to give him credit for that, because he follows that with grateful, humbled, and excited. DC made it happen, the right outcome for all. I am maybe giving him too much credit for having a sense of humor with that first line, but I think the second line summed it up. They should be grateful. They should be humbled. They should be excited. D.C. made it happen. They did to a certain degree, but really it wasn't D.C. It was Virginia who didn't make it happen. That's why they're back in D.C. But it is, I believe, the right outcome for all. I know there are people in Northern Virginia who are upset that they're not going to get a sports team. Your state is very difficult to deal with. It's like it's two states in one. There's, and then there's Northern Virginia. You know, what it looks like on Election Day versus Northern Virginia. And this was never, ever, in retrospect, going to happen because the money wasn't there. Yes, there seems to have been one politician more than any other that really stood tall and for, I'm sure, political reasons more than anything else, decided to wreck this almost by herself. And as I mentioned, she handled it so well on Twitter yesterday. She had a big meme of a basketball with a big red sign saying rejected all over it. And she wrote, as Monumental announced today that they are staying in Washington, D.C., we are celebrating in Virginia that we avoided the Monumental disaster. Thank you to everyone who stood with us in this fight. She also tweeted out at one point, this is a freaking legendary smackdown. So now the incompetent losers behind the effort are out telling lies and conspiracy theories instead of just admitting they got their asses kicked by an ear-old gangsta legislator, which she writes parenthetically, affectionately called gangsta legislator. I'm glad the result is what the result is. These are areas of the city that I live in. This is the DMV, you know, it's not the super DMV that Ted had described, which was going to benefit from this beautiful new facility with everything that they would have around it in Northern Virginia, Potomac, you know, the super DMV, as I think Tommy refers to it in columns, Tedland, which stretches from Dover, Delaware, all the way down to the border of North Carolina and Virginia. No, the real DMV, which is the DMV, is the Washington metropolitan area. It's not Dover to Tobacco Road. I am thrilled. I think it's a big win for the true DMV. It's a big win for our area. This city was resuscitated when Abe Poland took his teams from Landover to Chinatown. And if Ted had taken them out, which was his intention, the Chinatown area, the surrounding areas like Penn Quarter and City Center would have been hurt and would have been hurt badly. All due respect to the Go-Go's and the esports teams and the gold standard brands that they've built with the Mystics and other properties in this mass, you know, branded property known as Monumental Sports Group. They weren't going to be the safe for that area town. They weren't. Everybody knew that. Everybody understood what the Wizards and Caps leaving meant to Chinatown and the surrounding areas. And then who knows what would have happened to areas that are contiguous to those areas. So I am thrilled that that area has a chance to be rejuvenated once again. And I'm glad that the city came to them with an 11th hour offer, but I'm also upset that the city neglected Ted for that long. You know, I talked about this on the day that he held that press conference with Governor Youngkin, which I thought was incredibly off-putting, the entire press conference. It was detached. There was no compassion whatsoever. He was acting as if this was a great thing for everybody involved, including the city, because of this superhighway Delaware to Virginia DMV that they've built out with all of their brands. But the city messed up. They you know, thought Ted was bluffing. They neglected him. They didn't respond to him. And when they did, it was not a serious response until essentially moments before that press conference. And I'm sure there was some emotion in that press conference that day with Ted. There was some anger at the way he was treated. But all's well that ends well. And them being in Chinatown at Capital One Arena with the renovations that they will make to bring the arena up to world-class standard will be hopefully a boon for business in that area. You know, we talked about yesterday, I think, on the show, he was tweeting out like crazy yesterday morning. It was a clear tell that something on its way, but he spoke to just last week was for that area. You know, it was a revenue-generating setter for the concert that they had. With Zach Bryan, they had the biggest crowd that they had for a Caps game on a weeknight because of that big game that they had with the Red Wings. And he announced that renewals for season tickets were way up. The Caps were at 90%, and my God, Wizards renewals, 85 to 90%. They expect to finish in renewals. That's outstanding. And, you know, I think one of the things I learned from this process over the last couple of months is that the majority, and it's a plural, it's the Virginia residents that actually make up the largest season ticket group for not just the Capitals, but the Wizards as well. But ultimately, this is a good day. Yesterday was a good day. We kind of saw it coming, obviously, with Louise Lucas kind of killing the bill in the Senate. And where were they going to turn next? And if she is the lone reason, remember this too. She was certainly a big part of it. But this never even got to the stage of, you know, the not in my backyard people, the NIMBYs. We never even got to the point where they were ready to push back on this. So they acted like it was done in that press conference a couple of months ago. And that was bad advice. Now, maybe there was some emotion with Ted involved because he was ready to stick it to DC, who had not been responsive enough. You know, I read through that very detailed chronological how they got to that point. Sam Fortier with other writers involved. I forget who the writers were. I apologize. There were several of them involved where they took you, you know, blow by blow on how it got to the point where Ted, you know, committed to Virginia to do that deal. Laura, what's her name? It starts with a V, one of the reporters, whatever. Sorry for not remembering it. But that blow by blow was an incredible detailed chronological how they got to that point. And the city, I mean, all due respect, I mean, the mayor and Phil Mendelson yesterday, the mayor was fine. Phil Mendelson was all over the place. I mean, he had to be reminded about what he was supposed to speak about on the podium. They, you know, they kind of deserve each other, all of them, but I think it works out best for us that it turned out the way it did. Look, the Caps getting into the playoffs, making a deep run. The Wizards making progress towards being more of a competitive team over the next couple of years. We won't forget the last couple of months, but they can be papered over to a certain degree. But it does say this, that Virginia's tough to do business with. Over the years, going back to Jack Kent Cook, really not easy to get something done in that state. Now, I'm happy. All's well that ends well. The result is the result, and I think it's the best one for the most people who frequent Capital One Arena and follow the two revenue generators, the primary revenue generators. You know, not, you know, we're not talking arena football, which Ted invested in and failed. We're not talking about esports, which apparently is on decline. We're not talking about the Go-Go's. We're not talking about the Mystics. We're talking about their two biggest properties, the Caps and the Wizards, being back downtown. And now, you know, hopefully they'll have a chance here over the next couple of years to turn it around from being, you know, among the worst franchises, not the Caps right now, the Wizards, into one of the better franchises. But I do wonder what this means for the Commanders, for the football franchise, and its attempt to get back to the city. It can't be helpful. The odds didn't increase that Washington's football franchise will end up in D.C. with the news that the Caps and Wizards are staying in Chinatown. I don't know how much they decreased, but we will talk to Eric Flack about that at 11 a.m. Eric Flack, definitely one of the better investigative reporters in town at 11 a.m., even if he didn't decide to show up at the Waldorf where they were having these meetings, these dates, as Ted referred to. Look, for the overall city, it's better to have the 41 plus 41 plus playoffs, 82 plus days at Capital One than it is the 8 home games or 9 home games with, you know, a couple of other big events during the course of the year. Capital One Arena has the opportunity with many, many more events during the course of a calendar to impact the city economically than I think the RFK site does. But trust me, I want them back at RFK, just like most of you do. We'll talk to Eric Flack certainly about how yesterday's news, which does seem final, it does require the city council to approve this $515 million deal. But remember, they had already approved the $500 million offer at the 11th hour before Ted announced the Virginia thing before. So it seems like it should be a done deal. Eric Flack at 11 a.m. this morning. Bob Carpenter will join us in 20 minutes from Cincinnati. It is opening day for Major League Baseball. The Nats are in Cincinnati for the first of 3 games. Then they come home for the home opener on Monday against Pittsburgh. Josiah Gray goes today, 4:10. We'll preview the season with Bob Carpenter, the play-by-play, the longtime play-by-play voice of the Washington Nationals on Masson. And Jacob Hester will join us at 11:30. Jacob hosts a radio show in Baton Rouge. And yesterday, Jaden Daniels had his pro day. And I watched it. And I wanted to share some of what I thought I saw yesterday when we come back. Plus, did you know Jaden Daniels' mother was a bit of an issue at Arizona State? I didn't until this morning. I'll explain when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
A friend of mine just sent me a link to Candace Buckner's column today in the Post. I had not read it. I just quickly skimmed through it, but I loved it. She writes, basically, Ted Leonsis's teams are staying in D.C., but his legacy remains in flux. This was a day to take the high road for sports fans across D.C. to roar and then exhale. A day to beat our chests and scoff at that pile of dirt in Potomac Yard and to forgive. No one said a thing about forgetting. And move forward, because the Washington Wizards and Capitals are remaining right where they belong. She writes, this was a day for legacies. The Virginia governors took a blow. Bowser's puffed up like one of Glenn Youngkin's signature vests. Abe Pollins was rescued and is for Leonsis. What now? What to make of that man and his legacy? Will he be remembered as the steadfast sports owner and applauded for remaining in the city, or will he forever be demonized as the suburban-minded CEO who tried to scheme and plot his way out of town? It's kind of the way I feel today. It's like, I'm just happy with the result, and let's get back to the games. And I've talked about the fact that many of you haven't really been moved by this story one way or the other. It's a big story in town. It's a big civic story, obviously. It's an impactful story for the city. If he had left and gone to Potomac Yard, which isn't that far away, I understand that. I know exactly where it is. And the complaining about Marylanders and people in the district and how much longer it would have taken to get there, it would have taken longer, but it wasn't like you were going to Dumfries for a football game on Sunday. But it's so, so important that they are staying in D.C. That area would have never, ever been the same. And people can talk about how much worse it is today, or how much sketchier it is today. I've heard that term used so much, than it was a few years ago. There's a lot of that in a lot of cities across the United States. It has been tough post-pandemic with the number and the percentage of vacancy in all of these buildings, and what the pandemic did to inner cities and work environments, and the traffic that needs to be there to make retail work, et cetera. But without it being there, that area probably would have gone to hell in a handbucket. So I'm glad for the result. I didn't love, once again, the lack of acknowledgement of, you know, hey, we didn't probably do this the right way. It was more or less about how the mayor was dinging him and texting him and reaching out to him, and they had these little dates at the Waldorf, and, oh my God, our investigative infrastructure is so bad because he's so smart to be able to avoid it, or, you know, to be right out in front of it. Well, part of that may speak to your brand, is that nobody really even recognized the fact that you were sitting there on the main couch in the Waldorf, or, you know, in the Waldorf downtown. I mean, the brand isn't what they think it is. The NBA team's a joke. It's irrelevant. The Caps love the move they've made, but they've kind of been irrelevant here recently. They haven't won a playoff series since winning the Cup. A deep run for that team would really, really be huge. And again, as I said, in many ways, I think Zach, his son, if I read that tweet correctly, was a little bit more self-aware in the moment yesterday. You know, when he tweeted out, I think with some sense of humor and sarcasm, the moment you've been waiting for, we're staying at Capital One Arena, and it's going to be bigger and better than ever before. But then he writes, grateful, humbled, and excited. D.C. made it happen. The right outcome for all. Giving D.C. the credit. Ted did that to a certain degree as well. And he kept talking about the high road that he wanted to take. But there was definitely the part of him, the competitor in him, wanted to light Louise Lucas in Virginia, I'm sure. Anyway, we move on. So yesterday was Jaden Daniels' pro day at LSU. I watched it start to finish on the NFL.com plus version, because anybody that has paid for the All 22 and all that stuff had access to it. And look, these pro days, they're not learning anything about, you know, the kind of pocket passer, the kind of throws he can make. What was really important yesterday, more than anything else, and I talked about this at the beginning of the show yesterday, was what did he look like physically up close and personal, and how did he measure out? You know, we got the measurements, remember, at the end of the show yesterday, Denton, and, you know, you had said 6'3", and that was being reported. The actual height wasn't 6'3". It was 6'3 and 5/8". So it was closer to 6'4 than it was 6'3", and he weighed in at 210 pounds. And that may have been the biggest win for Jaden Daniels yesterday. By the way, he didn't look any different. He didn't look like a guy that had put on weight as he was standing there, but he wasn't in football equipment either. But 210 pounds, I think, was important for him. And I guess the football people understand whether or not it's 10 to 15 pounds that he just literally put on for yesterday versus, you know, weight that he can actually keep on and not lose any of his athleticism. I thought he threw great. I don't watch a lot of these pro days. I'm going to watch Drake Mays today, so we'll have more on that tomorrow. I thought he looked like he did when he threw at LSU. I mean, he's throwing to his very good receivers, Malik Nabers and Thomas, and I forget who else was out there for him yesterday. The ball hit the ground a couple of times. I guess they measure these things in the number of times the ball hits the ground. You know, he missed on one deep shot, but he hit on a bunch of others. I thought where he really looked good, and where I have pushed back on this being a negative and being a flaw, was the intermediate throw. He's got good arm strength. He throws with anticipation. There's no rush. There's nobody coming down and breathing down his throat. But if you watched him at LSU, you know how poised he was, always in the pocket, almost oblivious to the pressure around him. But one of the things you don't get to see Jaden Daniels do in a pro day is make plays. And that's number one on the list. He is an unbelievable playmaker. But I think arm strength, being able to make every throw, being able to make every throw accurately on time with anticipation, I think that's all there. I thought he looked great. I'm sure I will feel the same way about Drake May. And everybody was raving about J.J. McCarthy's pro day. By the way, afterwards, Lewis Riddick interviewed him. A couple of other people interviewed him. Lewis Riddick said the same thing Dan Orlovsky has said recently. He should be the number one pick in the draft ahead of Caleb Williams. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Chicago's dead set on Caleb Williams. But here was something interesting. Tommy, as in Tom Lavero, wrote a column late last night. And it's a column about something I didn't know about, and I bet many of you did not know about. And he told me that basically when he was at spring training, Nat's spring training, he ran into a guy that is pretty dialed in on NFL stuff, and they were talking about Caleb Williams and the role of Caleb Williams' family or father specifically in his career. And then the guy said to Tommy, that pales in comparison to Jaden Daniels' mother. And Tommy said, excuse me? He said, oh, you don't know? He said, read, you know, this. So Tommy wrote a column about Jaden Daniels' mother, Regina Jackson, and her incredible involvement in his college career. I'm just going to read a little bit from the column. At Arizona State specifically, not LSU, where Daniels first played before he transferred to LSU, his mother, Regina Jackson, was very much involved in her son's dealings. At ASU, Jackson made news for her role in an NCAA investigation that would eventually end the career of Herm Edwards as the head coach at Arizona State. The Athletic wrote about this in detail back in 2022. According to sources, Jackson was given uncommon access to the program, particularly early early on. Some staffers in the past jokingly referred to Jackson, again, Jaden Daniels' mother, Regina Jackson, as a coach. The dynamic became an issue inside and outside of the locker room. One former athletic department staff member said Jackson's presence around the football facility was unlike anything he had ever seen in his career. According to a June 2021 report in Yahoo Sports, Arizona State's recruiting violations during COVID, where you were prohibited for in-person recruiting visits, screenshots of emails showed that Jaden Daniels' mother, Regina Jackson, allegedly helped book more than $1,100 in flights for recruits and the adults accompanying them on a recruiting trip to Florida. Now, this was an Arizona State recruiting trip to Florida, but it was easier, I guess, to meet in Florida. According to the document sent to the NCAA Enforcement Department at Arizona State's compliance office, this happened. Now, Jackson, for her part, denied the allegations. She reportedly said the email address associated with her account that purchased the plane tickets had been compromised. She also canceled the charges after it was discovered she had been charged for the airfare. And she was not implicated in any wrongdoing. But in the wake of that NCAA probe, Herm Edwards and several of his staff members were fired in September of 2022. And after that, Daniels entered the transfer portal, to which afterwards Regina Jackson took shots at Arizona State on social media. She wrote, "We wish them well. We just had to let it go. They feel some type of way, and I understand. I'm a businesswoman, and I understand. However, LSU probably gained a lot of Arizona State fans because they just waited for him to fail, and it's okay. A quarterback has to have chemistry with their team," she posted on social media. "You see the best quarterbacks. Tom Brady's not good without chemistry with his receivers. He's going to put the ball there, but they are running the wrong routes. And if they are doing stuff, what is he supposed to do? You know, and the line, he don't want to run. He's been with a Pac-12 line that just collapsed. They're good kids, great kids, and we love them all, but he's not going to sit there and take 60 sacks, guys." All right, so apparently when he transferred to LSU, a lot of this access completely stopped. Brian Kelly, I can't imagine, would have allowed that kind of a situation at LSU, and it sounds like Herm Edwards and the Arizona State people did. Here's the big difference. Like, for those of you that are in that PTSD mode from the last 25 years and even going back to the RG3 years, when RG3 said something similar to what Jaden Daniels' mother said, right? Tom Brady's not good without chemistry. Remember when RG3 threw everybody under the bus and said, "I can't do what Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers, you know, and Tom Brady do. If my guys can't, you know, do their part, you know, they wouldn't be able to do what they, you know, they do without their guys doing their part." Jaden Daniels has never said anything like that. The mother did. And in this day and age of social media, it is hard to manage friends and family members when it comes to social media. He didn't say that. RG3 said that. He didn't say that. And the mother apparently was not anywhere near what she was at LSU because she wasn't given the access. I have no problem if the mother is intimately involved in his son's career, business-wise, support, emotional and otherwise. But there is a line you don't cross as a parent. This is professional football. And if Dan Snyder were the owner of the team, I'd be concerned. I would be concerned about any player that has family members that like significantly involved, you know, tangibly involved. But it's not Dan Snyder here anymore. It's Josh Harris. I think we have to trust, or at least give him the benefit of the doubt, that it's going to be run like an adult company. Like, your son's 24 years old. He's at work. You're not here with him at work. Of course, if there's something you're concerned about, his well-being or something, but he can advocate for himself. He's here at work, he's an adult, and you don't have access here. Just like every single one of you who's a parent don't get to go to work with your 24-year-old kids in their new job. So I'm okay with all of this as of now because I'm in benefit of the doubt mode with the ownership group, and it worked out okay at LSU. But I didn't know that part of Jaden Daniels' story. It was interesting. Bob Carpenter is in Cincinnati for Nats opening day. He'll join us next.
Of course, big news of the day, Caps and Wizards are staying in Washington, D.C. It was announced yesterday at a press conference with Miro Bowser and Ted Leonsis. Apparently, they went on dates, and we never found out about it. I guess we're all dumb. At least that's what Ted says. Anyway, his team's in action yesterday. At least one of them was the Wizards. They were playing Brooklyn. They lost in overtime 122-119, but it was a great night for Jordan Poole. 38 points for him on 15-24 shooting, 5-12 from three-point range. That's his best game, arguably, as a Wizard. Season high in points for Jordan Poole. Caps on the road tonight against the Maple Leafs. Puck drops at 7. It's a big one on their race for the postseason. You can hear it on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. And that's what's trending.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
4:10 today in Cincinnati, the opener for the Washington Nationals. They'll play three there, then they'll come back home for the home opener Monday against the Pirates. Bob Carpenter is going to be the play-by-play voice once again for Masson, and I am thrilled about that, and we welcome him on courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. He joins us from Cincinnati. What year is this for you again for Washington?
This is 19 with the Nats and 41 major league seasons overall.
I mean, the 41 years, and I've told you this many times, you've had just an incredible career doing so many things, but obviously over the last 19 as the play-by-play voice for the Nats. So last year, Bob, they overachieved based on what the expectations were, you know, winning 71 games when they had, you know, prior to the season, a lot of people thinking they and the A's were easily the two worst teams. I think they're over-under for win totals. Last year was like 59. Do you think that they've got a chance to take another big step forward this year? And if so, how?
Well, I think it's definitely a chance to take a step forward, Kevin. I don't know if it's going to be plus six, because if the Nats win 87 games, they're probably going to be playing in October.
Yeah.
And then you have the division. And I think one thing they can do is beat the Marlins a little more frequently, and that'll really help after, you know, having a ridiculous season against Miami last year when the Nats went 2-11 against them. And they don't have Sandy Alcantara this year. You know, so you're looking for little nooks and crannies here and there where the team could improve. I mean, they were 5-8 against the Braves. A lot of teams didn't do that well. They were 6-7 against the Mets and 6-7 against the Phillies. So the Nats played a lot better in the division than they had the year before. They won more road games than they did home games, but, Kevin, they won 8 more home games than the year before and 8 more road games than the year before. And I think playing fewer games inside the division, which obviously is pretty loaded these days, helped on that regard. The Nats were they were a 500 team in interleague play. They split 46 interleague games. So, you know, that shows you they can play against different kinds of teams. But how big that leap is, I have no idea. We're all looking for progress, and Mike Rizzo's definition of progress and Davey Martinez's definition of progress may be different than what the fans are thinking, because the fans want more wins, they want fewer losses, and they want all these things to happen. And that's what fans should want, and we respect them for that. So we'll see. I think it's going to be really interesting. opening up against a young, exciting Cincinnati ball club that's a little bit like the Nats. They've got speed. They've got a little more power than the Nationals do, although Joey Gallo could take care of that. And they need pitching. They need to pitch better than they did last year. These are two of the bottom three pitching staffs in the National League last year. So kind of an interesting matchup, along with Nick Senzel and Jesse Winker, the former Reds, being brand new Nationals. And that adds a little extra flip things today here in Cincinnati.
Yeah, Cincinnati made one of those massive jumps, a 20-game jump from 22 to 23 last year. From 2022 to 2023, winning 20 more games than they had the year before. So if I said to you things went really well this year, like they ended up winning 81 games, they went 500, what went right more than anything else?
I'd say the pitchers keeping the ball in the ballpark a little better, maybe a lot better. I mean, the Nationals gave up 245 home runs last year. The most in the National League, they only hit 151. Right. So you do the math. I mean, even if those are all solo homers, which they're not, that's a huge hole that you're in. So Trevor Williams has to keep the ball in the ballpark. Josiah, who gets the start today, what a wonderful honor for him against the team that actually drafted him first, the Cincinnati Reds, before they traded him to the Dodgers. He cut down his home run total last year, and that was a big thing. Patrick Corbin has to do the same. And, we'll see how Jake Irvin does. Cade Cavalli is on the way somewhere down the road. And we'll see about Mackenzie Gore. You know, Mackenzie, I know a lot of people are picking him to be the ace of this staff by the time things shake out, whenever that will be. But, you know, it always starts with pitching and defense. And the Nats were okay defensively last year, Kevin. They ended up in the middle of the league, eighth statistically out of 15 teams. And they were second in the league in double plays, which you don't always want to lead the league in, because that means guys are always on base against you. Case in point, the only team with more double plays was Colorado, and nobody wants to imitate what they do when they're pitching and on defense. But, you know, the Nats, they showed some things last year, and they've got team speed, you know, down through the years in baseball. Managers have said speed never slumps. You can always grab a bag. You can steal second base. You can go first to third on singles. And the Nationals are a good ball club at doing that. I think CJ is going to, you know, knock on wood, if he stays healthy this year, that young man's going to have a monster season. He stole more bases last year than Nelly De La Cruz did. And so I think we have some exciting things to grab onto. It's just a matter of how those things come together, because some nights you're going to hit, some nights you're going to pitch, some nights you're going to do both, some nights you're going to do neither. And I think it was Whitey Herzog who once said, you're going to win 60 and you're going to lose 60, no matter what happens when you get out there, unless you're the Oakland A's, who only won 50 last year.
Right.
But he said, you're going to win 60, you're going to lose 60. It's what you do in those other, 42 ball games that determines whether you're playing in October or not. And that's a really interesting way to look at it, because this is the big leagues. Everybody that is playing is the best player in high school and college, and here they are in the major leagues. And some teams are better than others. So I think we have a really interesting story to track throughout this 2024 season.
Just in mentioning Whitey Herzog's name, did you call Cardinals games when he was the manager any of those years?
1984. In fact, this is interesting. I was talking to Dave Jagler about this yesterday. The Cardinals open at Los Angeles. I think it's today. The last time they did that was the first day of my major league career. On opening day in 1984, Whitey Herzog was our manager. Willie McGee hit two home runs that day. The Cardinals knocked out Fernando Valenzuela, and that was my first game in the big leagues. And yes, Whitey Herzog, who does have some ties to Washington and the Senators, Whitey was my first big league manager 40 years ago today.
Wow. And that would have been what, 2 years? Did they won it in 82?
They won in 82, 85, and 87.
Right.
So 84 was not a great year, and the Royals beat them in the controversial World Series in 85, and then they lost to the Twins in 87. But that was, you know, for Whitey and that ball club, that was three World Series over a six-year period.
Yeah. Always been, you know, and you were a part of it, always been one of the true marquee franchises in all of sports, the St. Louis Baseball Cardinals. I think that's true. And certainly in baseball itself. We're talking to Bob Carpenter, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. So you mentioned, you know, the giving up the home runs and the lack of power last year. Will Gallo help from that standpoint? And if it's not him, where does, you know, an incremental jump in power hitting come from?
Well, the young guys? I think Joey will do what he will do. He and I and Kevin Franson had a really interesting conversation in front of his locker on Tuesday before the Futures game. And, you know, and Joey, he knows all about the batting average. I mean, it, you know, nobody lets him forget about it. And, you know, but here's a guy who has hit in the 250 range and all that in the big leagues before. And we're, you know, we're hoping he could do that again. I was looking, when he was an all-star in 19, he hit 253 for the Rangers. So, you know, he's capable of that. But he said he had 1 year. I guess Scott Boras and his corporation represent Joey. And the Boras bunch came up with a stat that on balls hit 100 miles an hour or harder to right field, Joey Gallo was 0 for 44 that particular season. The shift killed him, you know, and you're trying to hit line drives. You're trying to hit the ball hard. Can you imagine hitting 100 balls hard? Or 100 miles an hour into right field and you go 0 for 44 on swings like that, that's kind of crazy. So there's no shift anymore. We'll see how this thing plays out. He had 282 at-bats for the Twins last year and struck out, gosh, half the time, 142 times. I mean, that's too many. Everybody knows that. But he hit 21 homers and drove in 40 in 111 games. And, you know, whether he's a gnat on the last day of the season are helping a contender because he's had a big season for us remains to be seen, but he would be the guy. And then of course you would be looking for Joey Meneses to hit a lot more homers. I mean, he hit 13 in 2 months, 2 years ago in the last year, you know, he had the same number of home runs for the entire season. And that was really kind of weird, you know, that Joey hit 13 homers, still drove in 89 runs, but the ball just didn't leave the ballpark that much. I think Lane Thomas is going to hit 20 plus again. CJ is probably capable of being a young 20 guy with home runs and steals like Lane did last year. And then where else are you going to look for some power? Maybe Stone Garrett gets back healthy at some point and he gives you that pop you're looking for. And, you know, we'll see where else it comes from. Kay Barrett, you know, good. He hits for okay power. His main thing is making himself better defensively. I mean, you'll take a catcher who had the second highest home run total by a Nat last year. He had 18. Wilson Ramos hit 22 8 years ago. And so K-Bear's right there with the Buffalo in terms of, you know, the capability of hitting home runs. So, yeah, there's got to be more power. It's a power game today. But, Kevin, like I said earlier, the Nats are a team that can really run the bases. And you can make up for some of that if you steal bases and really run the bases well going first to third and second to home.
All right, let's talk about the possibility that this team looks a lot different, you know, towards the end of the year than it will at the beginning of the year with their young prospects, Dylan Cruz, James Wood, Trey Lipscomb. What is your what do you think in terms of when they'll be up in the big leagues and then the potential impact of all three and any of the others that you want to discuss in terms of the young guys?
Well, you know, as not exactly a club employee, I mean, I'm employed by Masson with the approval of the Nationals. And as somebody who's with the team on a day-by-day basis in the clubhouse on the field every day, I'm really reluctant to speculate on personnel matters. That's just not something that I like to do. Having said that, I'll take your question maybe and go backwards. I think by the end of the season, and I don't know which one of these guys it'll be, because from some of them, the guys in front of them might block them, and maybe they don't. I mean, Dylan Cruz gets blocked if Victor Robles has a big season, and Eddie Rosario does what the Nats think he can do, you know, moving around to different positions in the field. And, you know, in left field, Jesse Winker may be blocking somebody. Looks like the right fielder's not going anywhere. I think Lane Thomas is a Nat for a long time the way he's going. And so a lot of it, you know, and players will tell you this, GMs will and coaches will as well. A lot of it depends on what's happening in front of you at the big league level. Those kids you mentioned, they all look like they're really good prospects. Now, Dylan didn't hit for high average in spring training. James did. Robert Hassel III, he hit for a nice average. You know, you got Brady House sitting there waiting for his opportunity. Trey Lipscomb, spring training. Was that real over a month's period or so, you know, we'll see. And of course, now the Nats have decided for the time being, for defensive purposes, to keep Nassim Nunez, the Rule 5 pick on the roster, who can, I mean, this guy is a wizard. So there are all these different factors. And if the team gets off to a really slow start and they're way under 500 at the All-Star break and beyond, I think that speeds up, that accelerates that process, Kevin. But if they're playing well, they're contending, and some of the new guys like Senzel and Winker and others are in, Joey Gallo obviously, are doing what they can do, and somehow this team is in contention for a wild card spot, maybe that delays the process. And that's the interesting decision that organizations, and it's a good problem to have, to make that decision. Wow, what do we do with the kids now because we're in the race? Now we have the luxury of maybe leaving them at AA or AAA all year, or promoting somebody from AA to AAA. And then, you know, next year at spring training, have at it, boys. Let's see who's going to be on the roster. So let's hope it's the latter. Maybe the Nats, you know, find a way to contend and get into that wild card scenario. But I think if they don't, we'll see those young guys sometime during the second half. You know, I don't know when you first see them. It is, to me, in baseball, other than who you draft, it's the toughest decision. When's the right moment to bring up that young man? Because if you bring him up too soon and he's overmatched at the major league level and the confidence takes a hit, then you've got a big time problem on your hands.
All right, two more for you. You mentioned CJ Abrams. Does he have a chance to take that step forward to where he is a potential all-star, even if the team is a 71-win team this year?
Absolutely. It was interesting. As we went around the league last year, I started noticing in opposing ballparks, because, you know, we're down on the field for batting practice. We're hanging with the guys and all that. And I heard everywhere we went, young kids, I mean, 6, 7, 8 kids, not the adults, you know, who are trying to get autographs, the kids, CJ, CJ. The young fans around the National League, and really I think the word's getting around, you know, because of interleague play. Heck, we played 46 interleague games last year, so those fans are getting to know guys as well that they don't usually get to know. C.J. Abrams is becoming one of the favorites of young baseball fans around the country, and I love that because we saw that with Juan Soto several years ago. You know, Juan was basically a teenager when he started doing his thing, and kids can identify with that. I mean, they dream of being that guy someday. So, you know, that's the intangible part of this. But all I know is that after he assumed the leadoff spot, Kevin, last year on the 7th of July, his 36 deals were number one in all of baseball. And he was he had the fewest caught stealing with 40 stolen bases or more of anybody around. And he was the 7th major league shortstop in history to go 15 plus on homers and 40 plus on stolen bases. Guys who steal that many bases usually don't have much power at all. Well, CJ has plenty of power. You know, he hit 16 of his 20 big league homers last year. And, you know, he's going to get bigger. He's going to get stronger. He's still only 22. He's rangy at 6'2", 190. He'll put, you know, I'm sure he's put some meat on those bones. And he's going to be maybe, I know we got all these kids on the way, but they're still minor leaguers. But we've got this young man, and I've met his parents, fabulous people, Chris and Ruth. They follow, you know, they're on the road. They're following him. It looks like he was just brought up the right way. He's just a really nice, unassuming young man, the kind of guy you root for, not going to make a lot of noise verbally and all that stuff. But I think we're sitting on a powder keg of potential with this young shortstop.
All right, I want to ask you about one other player, and that is Mackenzie Gore. Last year, you know, I think he was top 10 in, you know, in strikeouts per 9 innings. They have, you know, named him the opening day home starter on Monday against Pittsburgh. By the way, the weather's looking a little bit dicey for Monday, but hopefully it'll change.
Yeah. But what I heard, yeah.
What do you expect from Mackenzie Gore, who I think talent-wise, and maybe you disagree, really does have the ability to become, you know, a left-handed ace for this team? What kind of year is he going to have?
Well, all I know is that the last two times I've seen him, he struck out 18 batters and he's only pitched like 18 innings in his last two spring training games. Now, he got hit hard eventually by the Mets in the latter part of his start that we had on Masson, I think about a week and a half ago. But I mean, he was dominant. He had 11 strikeouts that day. So, you know, McKenzie, Bob Gibson once told me, he said, you know, when you're a young pitcher, you know where you want the ball to go, but sometimes it just won't go there. So when we look at young pitchers who have all this talent and this velocity and all this stuff, because they walk guys and give up hits, it's not because they're dumb. They're trying to do the right thing out there. Kevin, it just takes a while. This is baseball at the highest level. These guys are big league hitters. They've seen it, everything. And, you know, they've battled their way to the big leagues. And if you make a mistake, they're going to hurt you. And Warren Spahn used to say, hitting is timing. Pitching is throwing off that timing. And so McKenzie, I know he's been working on a changeup. That will help. It's weird how left-handed batters hit him harder than righties do. I think there's a game plan against him because of his velo, that left-handed batters are just trying to hit line drives the other way. And again, that's the big leagues. These are smart guys. That's what they do. And they get hits off you and they produce runs. So if McKenzie, it's weird. If McKenzie can find out, if the lefty can find out a way to get lefties out better, he's going to really, really turn into something special. And I think this is for him. McKenzie Gore and C.J. Abrams might be the two most explosive young men that we have on our roster right now who could be big league superstars.
And there could be others later in the year. We'll see how the season goes. Thank you, as always. Enjoy the start to the season. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Bob.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for having me on. And one little note for you here, because you mentioned the Cardinals in tradition.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati Reds' first home opener was in the year 1882. The Nationals
was Mark
are in
Schott
their 20-
the owner?
No, thank goodness for that. But they wouldn't have been around for 1883. But that just goes to show you, we are still catching up with a lot of these organizations when it comes to history, Kevin, and the Nats are doing a pretty good job of it.
Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Talk soon. Enjoy the game.
All right, buddy. Thanks for having me on.
Bob Carpenter. Up next, Eric Flack from Channel 9. We'll go back to the big news yesterday, Wizards Caps staying in D.C.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.